my friends, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and very excited to have you with us here tonight, as always. It's Monday, June 18th, 2007, 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Well, welcome to Monday, right, once again. And most of you have already been here for a while. You know it's Monday and how things go on Mondays, right? It's certainly trying to get our legs back under us after a nice weekend. Hopefully you all have a good weekend. It was Father's Day, of course, on Sunday, so hopefully you you contacted your fathers or your father figures, or maybe you are fathers and you had a good time. That's what certainly I hope for all of you out there. I kept pretty busy this weekend, although I didn't accomplish a whole lot. I did spend a lot of time with the family, and I certainly enjoyed that very, very much, and the weather was decent. We got a little bit of rain here in northwest Arkansas. They've been telling us pretty much every day on the Weather Channel, you know, for the extended forecast, that there's rain every day. Now, we don't get rain every day. We get a little bit over the weekend, not a lot to really cool things down, certainly not enough for the greenery around the area, but we're not nearly as bad as some areas, Atlanta, Georgia, Florida, California, other places just experiencing droughts and whatnot. Who is not experiencing a drought? Texas. That's for sure. You guys have been getting hammered in the northern Texas area. If you're experiencing anything, I'd love to hear about it. First-hand accounts certainly trump the news reporting any day. But yeah, it's a weird time, folks. It's everything that we said it was going to be and more. Meaning, of course, this bizarre weather year. We had one last year. We had one the year before and the year before. So it's just gotten progressively more interesting. Now, last year we didn't have hurricanes. This year we probably will. How severe will they be? I don't know, but they sure are talking a lot about a hurricane hitting New York City, aren't they? Have you noticed that? It's also intriguing to note that with the obsessive, commentary and various contributions to the global warming debate, that they are actually considering hurricanes a national security threat, which begs the question, exactly what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of hurricanes being used as weapons, perhaps in weather modification? Are they perhaps fearful that, you know, that maybe society itself is on the verge of collapse? Maybe people are just really upset with things, and we're seeing that. We're seeing people waking up. Now, is it too late for anything? I don't know. But typically you do see a sort of little revolution in thought every couple of years, mostly coinciding with elections of some sort, presidential or perhaps midterm, and usually some sort of political appeasement takes place with people, and then they feel fine. They're like, oh, okay, everything's fine now. But that's usually not the case, as we all know. But this time, I don't think it's going to work. The election cycle started way too early. There are too many people involved. And as a result, the candidates are really going through intense amounts of scrutiny, usually long before people have been able to solidify their support of somebody. So I don't know. I really don't know. It's an exciting time. It truly, truly is. Anyway, welcome to all of you joining us online, listening at the only officially sanctioned website of the network, that is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Lots of great information there, lots of great things you can purchase, lots of ways you can help keep this broadcast and this network going. And you know how to do all that. Of course, you can call the office number during business hours and chat with somebody about anything that you might be interested in, such as these satellite receivers, and then we have lots of books and DVDs and CDs available there, as well as our Republic Trading Group. Robbie Noel will absolutely take good care of you. Good man, that Robbie. We love him. And let's see, the website for the show, www.franklyspeakingradio.com. Webmaster James doing that all by himself, working very, very hard. So take good care of him, folks. Let him know you appreciate all of his hard work. And, of course, you can contact me through the website if you need to. But if you'd like to dial into the show tonight, and I always love hearing from you guys out there, whatever it is you may want to talk about, 800-313-9443, toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us, back in 3 minutes with more.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. I'm thrilled you're with us. Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. It looks like the Middle East is about to explode. And I know you could pretty much make that statement and be accurate anytime in like the last, I don't know, 6 decades. But still, it looks really, really poised to see some big changes there. And as we had talked about before on the show, that's all orchestrated. We'll get into that. We'll discuss some of that a little bit later on in the show. But first things first, let's look at some interesting things. We've talked a lot about security and sort of what's going on out there. A lot of big things coming out in the media, and I think there's a reason for that. People are starting to wake up. People are starting to ask more questions. People are starting to ask better questions. And really, is that not really the whole point of everything that we do is to kind of tell people, pay attention to what's going on and ask the right questions and be aware of non-answers. I think that's vital to our understanding and vital to our education. And what we've been seeing is a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests coming out, mostly because people are feeling sort of the excitement of a political showdown. You know, again, looking at 2008. And yeah, I know, it's a long ways off, the whole presidential election and everything. But, you know, the campaign started early, so the truth is starting early. I think this is going to screw them over. I really do. Excuse me. And here's why. These things typically don't start coming out until a few months before the election. You know, we start hearing all these stories. Oh, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Right? But now we're seeing it in conjunction with the politics and what's happening, people are starting to fall away. They're starting to see Democrats and Republicans pretty much on the same page on almost everything on the surface. Okay, it used to be you'd have to dig really deep to find those connections and those backdoor deals and those smoky room handshakes. But now they're just laid out there because they know that nobody's really going to pay any attention. We've discussed a great many of these things in the past. But anyway, what I'm saying is that people are starting to fall away from their respective parties and starting to really look suspiciously at both sides of the political aisle. And I love that. And there's a reason. Stories like this one, for example. This came out on Thursday from the Washington Post. It said an internal FBI audit has found that the Bureau potentially violated the law or agency rules more than 1,000 times while collecting data about domestic phone calls, emails, and financial transactions just in recent years, far more than was documented in a Justice Department report in March that ignited bipartisan congressional criticism, which we, of course, reported on back then. Now, also keep in mind, this is at the, on the tail end of the FBI terrorist watch list, okay, that we discussed. And there's two. There's one that's like global, right, looking at known terrorist entities around the planet. And that's about 350,000 people on that one. Well, the FBI one mostly focuses on, you know, crazy domestic terrorists, right, people who blow up abortion clinics and things like that. Yeah. Well, there's 509,000 names, at least, on that list. And again, we talked with Al Cuppet last week about the FEMA camps and the red list and the blue list and the green list and the yellow lists. And he said that just the red and blue list alone, back in the mid-90s, the list was somewhere around 6.5 million. So the odds on this FBI database only being 5 million people, slim to none. But the point is that with all of the availability for data acquisition and the tracking and the surveillance that we see our society turning into, I think that that list is probably swollen quite a bit. But regardless, the fact that they think there are more terrorists in this country than there are in the whole planet combined, unlikely, but interesting. Which, again, when you look at the FBI, this raises the issue with this story as well. It goes on. The new audit covers just 10% of the Bureau's national security investigation since 2002, and so the mistakes in the FBI's domestic surveillance efforts probably number several thousand, Bureau officials said in interviews. The report earlier found 22 violations in a much smaller sampling. So they sampled it in a small form, found 22 violations, investigated so far of the whole thing, only 10% found more than 1,000 violations. So, yeah, I'd say that statistically, we're looking at significantly more. The vast majority of the new violations were instances in which telephone companies and internet providers gave agents phone and email records the agents did not request and were not authorized to collect. The agents retained the information anyway in their files, which mostly concerned suspected terrorists or espionage activities. But two dozen of the newly discovered violations involved agents' requests for information that U.S. law did not allow them to have, including to the audit results provided to the Washington Post. Only two such examples were identified earlier in the smaller sample. So, again, 24, only two before. So 10%, 24 violations. So here we've got two main issues. Number one, first of all, the FBI said, hey, we want this information. And the people they requested it of, not only did they comply with the request, they went above and beyond. In the name of patriotism, they gave the FBI agents tons more information than they requested. Now, they also found out that in addition to that, they also retained information that they weren't allowed to have. And they kept them both. It's very interesting. FBI officials said the results confirmed what agency supervisors and outside critics feared, namely that many agents did not understand or follow the required legal procedures and paperwork requirements when collecting personal information with one of the most sensitive and powerful intelligence-gathering tools of the post-September 11th era, the National Security Letter, or NSL. Okay? They said, oh, they didn't understand. That's what we're supposed to believe, right? I mean, does that honestly make you feel better? These are intelligence-gathering organizations, and they screwed up because they didn't, oh, I don't know, understand. That's great. That's exactly the kind of people I want protecting me and my country. But maybe that's just me. Being sarcastic, of course. It goes on, more than 19,000 letters were issued in 2005 seeking 47,000 pieces of information, mostly from telecommunications companies. Of the more than 1,000 violations uncovered by the new audit, about 700 involved telephone companies and other communications firms providing information that exceeded what the FBI's national security letters had sought. But rather than destroying the unsolicited data, agents in some instances issued new NSLs to ensure they could keep the mistakenly provided information. So how nice is that, right? I would like, let's say, on Thomas there at RBN Studios, I want his, I want his address and his phone number, email address even. And then, you know, whoever he has his internet provided through, they would say, not only will we give you that, we'll give you his social security number and his birthday. So what does the FBI do when they receive this unsolicited information? They intentionally, you have to do this intentionally, they intentionally issue a new NSL, a new national security letter, demanding the information they already received. So they would say, I demand to have Thomas's social security number and his birthday. And then, you know, whoever, AT&T, calls up and says, we gave that to you already. And they say, oops, our mistake. Thanks. And then they sit back, they lace their fingers together, they put their feet up, and they say, yes, I've covered my bases. So that's how little they understood. So you see what I mean? This is an intentional cover-up. This is not an accident. You can't accidentally file information requests for information you already received. And why would you if you'd already received them? Oh, we didn't understand. Well, that's convenient. Worked out perfectly then, didn't it? I just don't believe it. Maybe it's just me and my conspiratorial nature. Anyway, it says, officials cited as an example the retention of an extra month's phone records beyond the period specified by the agents. So they had, again, additional information and kept it longer than they should have. FBI officials said the audit found no evidence to date that the agent knowingly or willingly violated the laws or that supervisors encouraged such violations. So you see that? FBI officials said the audit found no evidence that any agent willingly or knowingly violated the law or that they were told to do so, indicating that when they sent the national security letters to request information that had already been requested in order to cover their tracks, that all happened accidentally. They were sleepwalking through the FBI offices and, just write this up, send it in the mail. Oh, I guess I was sleepwalking. I guess I didn't knowingly or willingly send this out. I didn't realize what I was doing. Sorry. That's an official investigation for you folks. Criminals investigating criminals come up with only no evidence, really, is what usually happens. Anyway, the officials said they're making widespread changes to ensure that the problems do not recur. Whew, well, that's a relief, right? Because they've done so well so far. This is post-September 11th, so we're talking, you know, a good 7 years almost. And, yeah, hey, stellar job, gentlemen. You certainly have my confidence. Those changes, it said, include implementing a corporate-style continuous internal compliance program to review the Bureau's policies, procedures, and training. Did you get that? A corporate-style oversight system. Yeah! I think they should just take it a step up and say, we're going to approve an Enron-style oversight, just to make sure that everybody's above board. We don't want anybody to make any mistakes or to, you know, unknowingly or unwillingly violate some laws. We want to make sure that they understand how everything works, because everything else was a misunderstanding. So we're going to institute something that it absolutely works 100% of the time. Corporate-style oversight. Yes, I'm even more satisfied with this thing. I feel extremely content and extremely secure. I can't do this with a straight face for long. It says also they will provide regular monitoring of employees' work by supervisors in each office, and they will conduct frequent audits to track compliance across the Bureau. The Bureau is also trying to establish for NSLs clear lines of responsibility, which were lacking in the past. So before, they could just run around willy-nilly just getting NSLs for anything they wanted. Well, not really, but I wanted an excuse to say willy-nilly. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Okay, so now that we get that out of the way, let's continue on with this story from the Washington Post last Thursday, and it's about the FBI overstepping its boundaries, often, in collecting data. Of course, all those oversteps were all accidental, as we've covered. Anyway, it goes on. It says... blah, blah, blah. Agents, it says, who open counterterrorism or counterintelligence investigations have been told they are solely responsible for ensuring that they do not receive data they are not entitled to have. That's how they're going to make sure that everybody knows the responsibility factor, saying it's on you. Meaning, of course, that they can scapegoat the field agents when the powers that be who kind of command them to do things can, you know, cover themselves up. Says the FBI audit did not turn up new instances in which another surveillance tool known as an exigent circumstance letter had been abused, said officials. In a finding that prompted particularly strong concerns on Capitol Hill, the Justice Department had said such letters, which are similar to NSLs but are meant to be used only in security emergencies, had been invoked hundreds of times in, quote, non-emergency circumstances, end quote, to obtain detailed phone records, mostly without the required links to active investigations. So, no new instances of abuse with the ECL, exigent circumstance letter, but there's still hundreds of violations of that. So nothing new, nothing to worry about here, except that they basically said everything is an emergency, everything is a national security concern, everything is, you know, some sort of terrorists are just about to kill billions of people. We need phone records from all of your people.
Okay.
Many of those letters were improperly dispatched by the Bureau's Communications Analysis Unit, a central clearinghouse for the analysis of telephone records such as those gathered with the help of exigent letters and national security letters. The official said the final tally of violations that are serious enough to be reported to the panel might be much less than the number turned up in the audit, noting that only 5 of the 22 potential violations identified by the Justice Department's Inspector General this spring were ultimately deemed to be reportable. So, in essence, of the 22 that they found, and those were the, you know, dozens, I suppose, has nothing to do with the 1,000 errors. They're saying that only 5 were reportable, indicating that they can't say, oops, are bad, and have people accept it. So it's not to say that everything's fine and dandy. It's certainly just as bad as you might expect it to be. But they're starting to report on things. They're starting to look into these things. They're starting to address these things. And I think that, my friends, is a powerful place to be. Again, the beauty of a political year, right? It's not an election year, but they're acting like it is, which is a good thing because that gives us plenty of time to, A, wake up, B, have some real news being out there, and C, allow people not to feel like these will be addressed by politicians, you know, who say, hey, everything the Bush administration is doing, we're going to do things better. And people go, yeah, it's time for the Democrats. Right? Anyway. This is another privacy-related thing. I think you'll find this to be intriguing. Came out on Sunday from the AP. A 22-year-old intern was given the responsibility of safeguarding the personal information of thousands of state employees, a security procedure that ended up backfiring. Gosh, you think? Let's give tens of thousands or more, as the story will indicate, of people's private information to a 22-year-old. And let's let them take it home for safekeeping. That's the top-notch security procedures in place in the great state of Ohio. The names and social security numbers of all 64,000 Ohio state employees were stolen last weekend from a state agency intern who left a backup data storage device in his car, said Ohio Governor Ted Strickland. So in essence, it's one of those little, like, portable hard drives, I guess. 64,000 state employees, social security numbers, and it was all on one thing, and that's their security procedures to allow employees to take it home. If you take it to your house, it won't be stolen from here. I guess that's the mindset. An additional review of data revealed that the storage device also held information on 53,797 participants enrolled in the state's pharmacy benefits management program, as well as the names and social security numbers of about 75,532 dependents, the governor's office confirmed Saturday. So, let's do some math, shall we? 54,000, give or take, and 75,000 and 64,000. Add those up. That's how many people have been compromised in Ohio. I'm not going to do the math because you don't want me to do math. I would come up with, oh, let's just make it billions. Under the protocol in place since 2002, this is the great thing, the protocol. Ready? Under protocol in place since 2002, a first backup storage device is kept at a temporary work site for a state office, along with a computer system that holds all the employee information, and a second backup device is given to employees on a rotating basis to take home for safekeeping, said officials. That intern, by the way, makes $10.50 an hour. Now, granted, that's pretty good money. I'll take it, but still, you know, just when we're talking about that kind of level of, you know, security, that's just ridiculous. Stay with us. We're back in 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour brought to you by our good friends down at Howard Creek Resort, or I should say from where I am, over at Howard Creek Resort. 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and all the fun that you could possibly fit into however long you're planning on staying. No matter what it is you like to do, indoors or outdoors, it's all right there at Howard Creek Resort. Well, not right there, but certainly right there in the neighborhood. Howard Creek Resort is on Bull Shoals Lake, absolutely stunningly beautiful, peace and quiet, and lots of great sort of outdoor activities. They've got a lake, obviously, and they've got boats and boat docks and all sorts of things for the kiddies. Great place for anything like a family reunion and well, you name it. even if it's just peace and quiet. And then, of course, Branson, Missouri, right there around the corner, and lots of fun shenanigans can be had there in Branson. So consider Howard Creek Resort, my friends. Check it out on the web, www.howardcreek.com. You can also call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Ask them about their rates. Ask them about, of course, they do have one-night rates. So if you're maybe just passing through and want to spend an action-packed day in the great state of Arkansas, you can do so. Howard Creek Resort, we certainly appreciate them with their sponsorship of this hour, and we ask you to support our sponsors and advertisers and the people who make this show and this network possible. They're wonderful people down there. I look forward to being able to go and spend some time with them in the very near future. All right, so we're talking about this madness in Ohio. If you live in Ohio, I guess if you work for the state of Ohio, you might be concerned about this. But otherwise, you know, you might just shake your head. But keep in mind, these are official protocols. Again, they back up the files, and they hide that away somewhere in an off-site workplace, okay? And then they have a second backup, and that's given to employees on a rotating basis to take home for safekeeping. Because surely no one would break into their houses or their cars or anything like that, right? It's much more likely people would break into the offices of a state, you know, or federal building to steal records than they would to break into, you know, Joe Schmo's house. Ridiculous. Anyway, Governor Strickland said it was inappropriate for an intern to be designated that responsibility. He ordered an end to the practice of employees taking the devices home. Whew, well, that's a relief. Everything's fine now. Thanks, Gov. Anyway, State Budget Director Pari Sabetti said the device would now be stored in another location in a locked fireproof box. Well, that's encouraging for all the 64,000 plus 54,000 plus 75,000 people who had all their information compromised. Now, that one came out, as we said, on Friday. that one's from Sunday. This one came out Saturday from the AP. There was more information. It said, according to a press release, newly confirmed sensitive data included on the device are as follows. Now, here's where it gets interesting. 2,685 records of school district names, local government names, and school district and local government bank account information. 2,685 records of that. Medicaid provider names, tax ID numbers, addresses, and bank account information for 159,708 records. So that trumps the story we just read, which is more current, supposedly, right, than this one. It also says names, Social Security numbers, and STRS account numbers for the 1,031 state employees who are teachers in the state teachers retirement system. So as if the teachers didn't already have it hard enough, there you go. Information pertaining to 28,362 state employees and vendors who are recipients of electronic fund transfers. What officials don't know is whether the theft is an unsuspecting common car burglar or a computer-literate opportunist with the capacity to unlock the code encrypting thousands of Social Security numbers. Wonderful. So obviously, again, those numbers are staggering, and it's more than just Social Security numbers, but it's bank account information and all manner of things. It says it was just the latest case of personal information on thousands of state employees disappearing or being inappropriately accessed. Several universities, including Ohio State University and Ohio University, and even the Veterans Affairs Department, have reported lost or stolen data. In 2006, Ohio University discovered breaches that had exposed 173,000 files containing Social Security numbers, names, medical records, and home addresses to data theft of workers and alumni. Someone hacked into an Ohio State University computer and stole the personal information of more than 14,000 current and former faculty and staff members in March. So I would say these are some pretty, pretty severe cases of identity theft. Would you not? I think you would. I would too. And again, I'm glad I don't live in Ohio and work at a school and part of the teacher's retirement fund with electronic data transfers, wire transfers, and things like that. It's all about being compromised, folks, and this is very, very important information. I hope you're paying close attention to it. Because, again, you may not live in Ohio, but this can happen anywhere. The protocol is for employees to take this backup storage device home with them. Unbelievable. And in this case, the rotating employee was a 22-year-old intern. Doesn't matter how much he got paid. Doesn't matter how old he is. And doesn't matter his position in this government entity. Does it? I don't think it does. What matters is the fact that they think it's a good idea, that it's safe and secure, to give people a little backup storage device to say, hey, take this home with you for the weekend, would you? Keep it safe. Unbelievable. How many millions or billions of dollars in taxpayer money is going into funding cybersecurity, right? Not enough, apparently, because obviously it's human error. And that's when it all, that's what it all boils down to. A lot of people would look at these things and say, you know what, it's not a big deal because my computer is secure. You know, I've got everything in place, everything's backed up, everything's safe and secure, everything's great. But what if somebody tricks you out of information, right? I mean, conceivably, you're not going to put it all on a little hard drive and tool around town with it and leave it in your car with a big sign that says, please steal me. I contain sensitive data that you might enjoy. Unlikely, correct? But then again, what we have to understand here, and this is something our guest will probably talk to us about, communicate with us, is the concept of this whole thing being people. People just being reckless with their personal and sensitive information. Anyway, how many times have we covered these stories in the last week? Right? There was the terrorist watch list. There was the Freedom of Information Act request brought up by Electronic Frontiers Foundation. They had requested some information about AT&T's involvement with the federal government, giving them access to their files without, you know, having to do so. And of course, initially when it came out, it was heavily redacted, which means it has the black lines you've seen on all the government documentation. Yeah, well, they got the uncensored version of that, and basically found out that the NSA had been given a little, you know, their own little office at AT&T, and allowed to tap into anything that they wanted to survey. Now we know that that happens anyway, but the point is these things are coming out into the open. That particular case is, by the way, is going to trial in August. So expect to hear more and more about that. And, of course, we all remember the various airlines who acquiesced and gave passenger information to the federal government. All of this ties in with the Total Information Awareness Network. Now, this is a concept that was put out probably on the down low at first, but then it came out. But I have a sneaking suspicion they allowed that information to come out for a reason, because they know that you know, people, they can kind of gauge how awake people are, how aware people are. And how much they still are in fear of terrorists. Like they're saying, well, you know, a couple of years passed by since September 11th. People maybe aren't scared enough anymore. Let's try this. Let's talk about this program. So they release the information. The information is that governments will now be data mining all these different databases and things like that, and collecting all of this information and filing it under, presumably, your name or your social security number, something like that. That's going to detail all kinds of stuff about you, whatever they want. Conceivably, bank information, credit information, credit cards, debit cards, anything like that, that you leave a fingerprint, a digital fingerprint, will all go into the Total Information Awareness Network. And at some point, they would integrate other things as well, like biometrics, right? You go and get a passport and they scan your eyes and they, you know, scan your fingerprints or whatever it is that they do, they scan your face, facial recognition, and they encode all that biometric data onto your passport. Of course, they have to have it in their system so that way they can match it up. It's on your passport, yeah, but you need to have the passport. You slide it through or whatever. It's got a little microchip that sends out the information willy-nilly to the people with the readers, and then they go ahead. They have to have something to match it up to. So that has to be in their databases. So then all of that goes into Total Information Awareness. Now you've got facial recognition software, which can be applied on all the security cameras. That you know, there's endless amounts of those, because all you got to do is throw up a camera, and then you can devise new types of computer programs to monitor and actually do what law enforcement used to do. And then you get to go ahead and cut back on your police, the officers, and various things like that, and you get to save money, because these computers will work for free, right? Once you pay for them, they're working for free. They're slaves. Not talking about machine rights here or anything, but I am saying that we have become entirely too reliant upon technology for our safety, and that is a big concern to me. Take a good look at Professor Jim McCanney's book about calculating primes. He's saying this is sort of the benchmark, this is the holy grail of all coding, of all encoding, of really sensitive stuff, including nuclear codes. It's all based on prime numbers. Well, now he knows, you know, he decoded how to do it. Something that has been really an ageless mystery in the realm of mathematics for thousands of years, and now it's broken. So what does that mean? Everything has to change. It just shows you how problematic the whole technology and providing our security is. We're becoming way too obsessed with that. But anyway, you may remember other programs as well. There was the TIPS program, which I can't remember what that stood for. Is an acronym for something. But, it you know, basically what this was neighbors and homeowners, landlords, things like that, utility workers, and postal workers would all report sensitive information on people to the government, and you know, they say, oh, this guy looks like an Arab, so let's go ahead and we'll use the excuse of we're doing inspections on your air filter, on your what are they called, smoke detectors. We're doing inspections this week, and then they get to walk around the house, and if they see anything at all, they can go ahead and file that away. Oh, I saw some wires laying around. Yeah, well, maybe he's putting together a Nintendo. You know, but they're like, I saw some wires. I think it's a bomb. It says Nintendo on the top. Well, maybe it's one of them new Japanese bombs. I don't know, but I think you need to check this guy out. He looks like a terrorist to me. Anyway, the TIPS program presumably didn't go anywhere. You want to know why? Wasn't the utility workers. They were all kinds of on board. They love, everybody wants to be a spy. It's so glamorized in our society. Think about this. James Bond and all the other things that we've got in our society. It's cool to be a spy. They've made it cool. It's very cool. Now, if you actually look at some spies, they don't look so cool. Most of them are just really unobtrusive and ordinary-looking individuals. They're not suave and dashing individuals decked out in tuxedos and you know, ladies busting out of their sexy, expensive dresses. It's not usually like that, okay? Not in real life. But it's glamorized as such in all the media. I mean, television, we got the show Alias and various things like that. Anyway, so when you take somebody who's on the road like a truck driver and you say, hey, you can work for us, you can be a spy for the government, that sounds cool. You know, you want to do that, right? Same thing with the utility workers. Hey, I know that you're just the telephone guy, and I know you just go out and you do a very, very, very important function for society, granted, but now you can be a spy. You want to be a spy? And they're like, yeah, I want to be a spy. Do I get paid? No. Do it for your country. Okay. So, you know, the utility workers on board. Landlords? They're landlords. You tell a landlord that he can be a spy, he loves that idea. You know, certainly if you're a slum lord and you've got all these places, there's probably some people that you'd love to spy on because you're curious, because, you know, you want to spy on tenant so-and-so who's attractive and maybe takes a shower, and you're thinking, oh, I can put, you know, cameras in the bathroom and spy on her, you know, whatever it is. You know, now you feel like you're officially sanctioned to be a voyeur. That's glamorized in the movies, too. We've seen that many times. There's all kinds of stuff like that out there. So, you know, the landlords, they were on board with it, too. They thought that was a great idea. What about neighbors? Oh, people love to rent out their neighbors, right? So-and-so had a baby crying at 6 a.m. and woke me up, so I'm upset. I'm going to report them to the I'm going to report them as potential terrorists, so you go ahead and call the secret government 800 number and all as well, right? And you know, that'll teach him. He looks like a terrorist. No, he looks like they have a baby and the baby cries. Anyway, it's the idea of being able to take down somebody that maybe did something to you. And if you have neighbors, guess what? Your neighbor has probably done something sometime to aggravate you at some capacity, especially if they're like an apartment dwelling type of neighbors. I've lived in apartments. We all have. I'm sure at some point we know what I'm talking about. So, you know, the people were on board too. So that's 3 out of 4. So who does that leave? The postman. And you know what the post office said? God bless them. They said, no, we ain't doing that. Now, whether or not they actually pretended to say they're not doing it is beyond me. And I'll tell you an example. Take a look at some of the executive orders out there, and you'll see that the Postmaster General is responsible for what? For collating and collecting a list of all the people in America, basically, like a virtual census. If you receive mail, you're on a list. At least that's what the executive order says. Now, it hasn't been implemented yet, but it's been written and ready to go at the drop of a hat. Take a good look at the article right there on the website, folks, at republicbroadcasting.org. It's entitled FEMA, the Secret Government. They have a list of the executive orders, who signed them and what they refer to and how all this ties in with everything we're talking about. So, supposedly, the United States Post Office said, no way, we're not spying on citizens, which I think is great, if it's true. Now, is it true? I don't know. It may be true, and they may say, hey, look, we'll do it if we're required to do it by executive order, but that has not been implemented yet. That hasn't been activated, so as a result of it, we're not going to do it. But supposedly, that's what caused the TIPS program to fall apart. But again, for the most part, what we have to understand here is the whole mindset behind it. It's the mindset that again, your government is doing everything it can, the end justifying the means, to keep you safe. Now, you might be a potential terrorist, or you can work for them and be a potential spy for the government. And again, that's sexy stuff right there, to be a spy. Anyway, that's where we're at. So it's very important that you pay attention to all these things. Now, again, when you look at the different things going on, there are people who talk about identity theft, and then there are people who perpetrate identity theft, and then there are people who try to save you from identity thieves. And then sometimes all three of those are rolled up into the same person. In this case, one Kevin Mitnick is his name. This is from May 26, 2007. Reading.com is where I found it. And it says, Kevin Mitnick, probably the world's most notorious computer hacker, made the front page of the New York Times twice in the 1990s. He hacked and lied his way into some of the most sensitive telecommunications data in the world. When he spent 2 years on the run from the FBI, he assumed multiple false identities, complete with fake pasts for himself. They made a movie out of that as well, by the way. Bear with me here, my friends. We're going to pause and knock out this break. We'll come back and wrap up the hour, and then we'll get on to our guest here tonight. Grant Hall will be joining us at the in about 10 minutes. Talk about his book, Privacy Crisis, which it all ties in with everything we're discussing here tonight. Please stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, tail end of hour number one. So got two more to go, and excited about that, certainly. Again, back to the story, May 26th of this year. Reading.com is where you can find it. Talking about Kevin Mitnick, as they say, probably the world's most notorious hacker. Or you could say most famous or infamous, whatever. Anyway, now that he's out of prison, 7 years and counting, and running a security consulting business in Las Vegas, he's asking the world to trust him because he knows the lying business very well. Also, electronic intrusion and trespassing. For a fee, he's happy to assemble a team of hackers to test your company's security. They will try to hack into your computers, attempt to persuade your unwitting employees to divulge security information, and pose as copy repairmen to get inside your offices. Mitnick particularly enjoys leaving notes under people's keyboards and on their servers. It makes it easier to convince the client he was there also. Oh, and he's happy to speak at corporate events. His main message, people are bad at knowing when to trust. Boy, that's poignant right there. People are bad at knowing when to trust. Isn't that the case? How many people trusted Colin Powell and the Federal Intelligence Services when we found out that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction? Yeah, didn't work out exactly that way. How many people trusted that Social Security would be around for them? How many people trusted that the U.S. government would keep the border safe and our ports under U.S. control? How many people trusted that their elected representatives would, in fact, represent them? How many people trust that all the infringements on civil liberties in the name of security, that information will be handled sensitively and appropriately with concern to the people involved, such as the, state employees of Ohio? It just goes on and on. People are bad at knowing when to trust and whom to trust. The story goes on. Most people, most of the time, want to trust. It's easier and it's nicer. All Mitnick had to do was tweak the situation a little so they could do what they wanted to do anyway. Boy, that's true. It's exactly true also. Most people want to trust people. Most people want to say, well, I trust that my elected representative will have my best interest at heart. Otherwise, I'll teach him a lesson. I'll vote him out. Ooh. If people are representing you, you need to stay on top of that. Imagine yourself as a celebrity. Imagine that your elected representatives are your celebrity publicists. Are they serving you well? I mean, all those people would be fired instantly. What'd you do today? Well, I stood around with my colleagues and I talked. Did you do anything? No. I can't work all the time. It just goes on and on, but that's the kind of nonsense that we have out there. And that's what people are okay with that. Anyway. It says, calling on a Friday afternoon is a good way to start. On Friday afternoons, people are not thinking about company security. They're thinking about how to get you off the phone so they can get on to their weekend. What you don't want is people trying to tell you things that they or what you don't want when trying to get people to tell you things they should not is someone who is thinking about everything you say and analyzing its implications and consequences. Mitnick says, no, you want someone who is distracted and will take mental shortcuts. How often do we do that? Stand in line at the bank and they say, listen, we're just going to go through the line and get everybody to give us their social security numbers and we'll streamline this whole process. We're sorry. All of our computers are down. We only have got one teller and they're doing it all by hand. So, this is going to take a long, long time. And you're just like, ah, I'm so distracted and I'm so anxious to get on to my weekend. I'm so interested in taking a mental shortcut. Here's all the information you want. And it goes on and on and on. See, we compromise ourselves, folks. We're the ones to blame. Luckily, there are solutions and there is hope. But stay with us. We'll finish up the story and get on to our guest, Grant Hall, when we come back in about 90 seconds with hour number two of Frankly Speaking Radio.